Hello, everyone, and welcome today to our Learning from Leaders conference call. My name is Carter Brown. I'm lucky enough to be your presenter today. Excited to be with you, as always. What a great privilege it is for me as the presenter and moderator, really, to be on these calls each and every week and have the opportunity to interview and talk with extremely successful, accomplished people. And today's no different. I'm particularly excited about today's call because not only do we have a tremendous entrepreneur on the call and a successful business owner, but also someone that has a tremendous experience in the real estate market, which is something that I've been involved with quite a few years. So I'm excited not only to learn about building a business and being entrepreneur, but also to get some thoughts about what the heck's going on in this crazy real estate market that we found ourselves in for quite some time. But one thing before I bring in our presenter, folks, I need to emphasize to you that you really need to be dialed in and engaged to these presentations. Just hearing this presentation is not going to cause any change in your life whatsoever. Okay, it's going to be kind of cool to hear what Mr. Shank has to share with us today, but it's the implementation, it's doing something. Okay, you don't want to be one of those folks that listens and learns and then hits the couch and grabs the remote control. You've got to be a person of action and not just learn, but implement and do. And so that's my plea with you. You're going to be given some tremendous insight and information today, but I want you to commit yourself right now to taking good notes, being engaged in the presentation, and then most importantly, do something about it. See how this stuff applies to you, and then implement it and take some action. So, all right. Well, folks, Mr. Greg Shank is who I've got on the call today, and certainly pleased to have him. Greg is the founder and president of the Shank Company, Central Ohio's exclusive tenant buyer representative brokerage and consulting firm. Greg has 27 years of experience in the real estate industry, ranging from representing tenants and buyers in relocations, as well as assisting clients in negotiating commercial space. Greg has been teaching for 16 years and teaches seminars nationally to professionals who want to learn about the market, as well as to brokerage firms who want to learn the process of representation and corporate services. His expertise is in the area of site selection and win-win negotiation strategies. Greg has won many awards, including the 2006 Micro Entrepreneur of the Year Award for Real Estate, CB's Commercials Prestigious Presentation Excellence Award, and the Business First 40 Under 40. He was named one of the top 50 brokers in the Midwest for 2002 and 2003, and one of the top power brokers in the country in 2004 by CoStar Group. Greg was an Evans Scholar at Ohio State University with a degree in business administration and a major in marketing. He's very creative with solutions for his clients' problems. He's passionate about helping others learn, grow, and prosper in everything they do in their life. So, folks, I could go on for a lot longer telling you how great this guy is, but let me go ahead and bring him in. And, Greg, welcome, and thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you very much, Carter. Thank you for having me, and welcome, everybody. I'm excited to be with you here for the next half hour or so. And I guess I'm living proof of the, you know, if you dream big and you have written goals and dreams, that they can come true. I started in the real estate business in 1986. I didn't have a clue, basically, before then what I wanted to do with my life. And if you would have given me 1,000 careers out of college, real estate or commercial real estate would not have been one of them. I'd never even heard of commercial real estate before. Most people heard of residential, but commercial was a foreign animal to me. I had one friend in the business out in California. I was living on the beach out in California. He told me about it. I flew back to Ohio, where I grew up, for a friend's wedding, and had a gut feel Columbus was going to grow. I trusted my gut. I got in the business, left a job where I had a company car and an expense account, and again, living right on the beach in Southern California, pretty great life. And I think everybody in the world except my mother thought I was crazy, even had to come back to Columbus for a straight commission position. I did two really big things. You know, before I left, I set some written goals of what I could do, and I said, I'm in a certain time frame what to do them. And which in that case was 2 years. And I said I was going to be one of the top five in the office and make a six-figure before the 2 years was up, which was about three times what I was making out there at the time. And within the 2 years, I did that, and that really opened my eyes to being able to do whatever I put my mind to. And 9 years later, I did the two biggest deals in the state of Ohio. And I left the company I was with, which was the biggest in the country, and started my own firm, which is almost 17 years ago now. And at the same time, I started traveling the country, speaking, teaching, training, and helping others get what they want. So I guess the bottom line, what helped me stand out is, number one, I had a goal. Number two, I had a really strong work ethic. I wasn't afraid to work hard, which unfortunately today, most people say that, but they don't really do it. Number three, I lived well under my means. I didn't overspend. I put a lot away for the rainy day, which has really helped me when times have been tough. And, I was persistent, and I kept on looking to surround myself with good, uplifting people, what I call a think tank group, in any area that I needed to get more instruction in. I got two advanced real estate designations. So in the 27 years I've been doing this, I've literally taken at least one course every year to try to learn something new to better myself at speaking, at listening, at financial analysis, at marketing, at whatever it was that I wanted to do, as well as got into several national networking groups, one with my designation, where I've met people all over the world and literally have over 5,000 people in my data bank. I've now been able to do what I want, where I want, with who I want. I own partnerships in multifamily, student housing, hotels, strip center, and life is good. I've got a 9-year-old son that's my pride and joy. I'm able to take off and go play with him whenever I want. And I am living the American dream, that you can work hard and play hard and get what you want out of life if you're willing to do that. So that's really it about me. I run the two different businesses. I represent tenants, buyers, and investors here and around the country. And then I speak, teach, and train. I speak and teach to any type of professional, attorneys, accountants, bankers, insurance people. And then I do continuing ed for both realtors and attorneys nationwide as well. I study the market 2 to 3 hours a day. I probably read 6 or 8 different websites, blogs, magazines, et cetera, et cetera. So I call it keeping my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the market, both on the local level and the national level. And I look at every different product group from each person's perspective. So I study office, industrial, retail, apartments, hotels from the user's perspective, the tenant's perspective, the buyer's perspective, the seller's perspective, the investor's perspective, and I give people an overview on those. And the biggest thing people don't look at today is really, do they have a strategic plan in place? And most don't, unfortunately, whether it's individuals or companies. They're too busy working in the business and not taking a step back and working on the business. That's number one. So a plan, a strategic plan, really, really important, obviously, in writing and starting early enough, starting a year before whether you want to do something, and then really what your risk tolerance is. Are you conservative or are you risky as far as investments go? What's the holding period that you're going to hold an investment, and have an exit strategy up front for every what-if scenario. If your partner or associates die, get divorced, or all of a sudden you need money for an emergency, don't be investing in something that you need short term. So those few items right there, and I know I went over those very quickly, are really things that people make tremendous mistakes on that really separate people that do well from people that don't do well. Unfortunately, most people don't have a plan. So that's mostly it, Carter. But what else can I answer for you?
Well, that's great. That's a tremendous introduction. Thank you very much for that, Greg. So I wanted to jump into the entrepreneur side of things, but I got to be honest with you. I got involved personally with the real estate market in the late 90s. And right, it was great timing for me. Got in the late 1990s, the market took off, and then 2005 and 2006, things kind of start tanking, and then we all know what's happened since then. But now we're kind of at a unique time where it seems like nobody knows what the heck's going on, Greg. You've got a lot of bulls out there saying we bottomed in 2012, and things are going to start picking back up, and we're going to get to a more normalized growth rate. You got other people saying, you know, not even close, the worst is yet to come. We've got all this government spending and our debt issues and the Fed's printing money. And so they, you know, some people think that, you know, the market's going to tank again. So there's so much misinformation out there, Greg. As an expert, I'd really love to kind of get your view. And I guess more of our students are going to be interested in the residential market. So maybe start there.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on where we are in the residential market and what we can expect and anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I used to own a lot of residential properties, model homes, things of that nature. So I do have some experience in that, and I still track it and look at it. And last year was a very good year for home builders and for residential. Three of the fastest growing stocks in the stock market were all residential builders that have been, you know, beaten up very badly. In some markets, the markets have come entirely back. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, a mid-sized market in the Midwest. And we are you know, back to, as far as selling, about the amount of homes that we were selling before, about at the same price we were selling them before. Now, the days on the market that it takes to sell has increased significantly to about 140-some, 150 days. So it really varies market by market. There's still some markets that are huge buyer's markets. And the biggest change that we've seen is typical commercial investors are now buying in bulk residential houses in markets that are bad, that there's phenomenal opportunities. And they're creating REITs out of these and, you know, going in and buying 10,000 homes or something like that. So there's still, you know, a tremendous opportunity for buyers. Sellers still, where they're selling, it's really going to vary from market to market. I live in a really nice neighborhood in a great school system. I would probably break even if I sold my house, and I've been in my house 9 years. So that doesn't make me happy. Obviously, the economy and our debt is that gray cloud hanging over our head, and that scares the heck out of me. I certainly, though, and I'm about 50-50 as far as my investments in real estate versus the stock market, I'm much more comfortable with my real estate investments than I am with the stock market. But the government's got to cut a lid on the spending and get the debt in order, or else we're going to continue to fight this for the next 30 years, and our children are really going to have a hard time. But saying that, what do we have to do? You've got to have a strategic plan in place, number one. Number two, you got to see what is your risk tolerance. Number three, how quick do you need the money? You know, are you looking at stuff you can keep in a property or an investment for 5, 10, 15 years, or is it something that you need in less than 5 years? So you have two really different strategies out there. For houses, for those who are doing those, usually trying to quit, you know, fix it up and flip something quick, you know, that's a different story. But if you're going to be in something that's going to take a while, you've got to really, you know, look at those what-if scenarios.
So let's say you have someone who comes to you and says, I'm really interested in real estate investing. I'm excited about it. I'm passionate about it. Maybe I have some money. Maybe I don't. But I really want to get involved in this thing. I know long-term it's a great investment, but where do I start? And if they were open to residential, commercial, what are some strategies that you would advise someone just getting into the business on? Or would you tell them to go get a real estate license and become a broker? I mean, you know, what would you recommend, Greg?
Wow, that's a great question. Obviously, the biggest thing is how much capital do they have to deal with? If they have less than $100,000 to invest, you're probably going to have to get partners. It's pretty tough to buy decent things for, you know, from under that. And having partners can cause problems. And I've got some great horror stories. If time permitted, I would go over them, because, again, you got to make sure you have the same goals. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, and then you got to make sure you have the same risk tolerance. One person may be risky and one person may be conservative. If you have at least $100,000, that's going to give you options. You know, banks are wanting much more money down today than they wanted before. Depending on the product type, your credit's got to be a heck of a lot better. So if you don't have good credit, you know, you can get in at lower amounts by going in through a REIT. So you certainly don't need your real estate license. If you're going to be very active, it would probably work to get it. But if not, you start out either in a partnership, you know, trying to get like-minded people. I mean, I'm in one investment with 180 people in it. I didn't put it together. I'm not the general partner. But we did a hotel that was 30-some million dollars, and, you know, we raised $9 or $10 million in less than a month's time. There's a lot of people sitting on the sideline with $50,000 to $200,000 in a checking account or a CD that they want to start making money on. And you know, again, it's going to get back to your risk tolerance of that. But how much money do you have to put down? How long can you invest it for? Certainly, you're going to be able to go into low-end areas of housing communities to buy cheap houses and fix them up. If you have that know-how, if you have the property union, and unfortunately, one of the biggest mistakes people make today is they have neither. So, for example, I'm not handy, and I did not want to do property management. So I learned out very quickly that was not the niche for me. I'd rather have somebody else be the general partner and let them have all those headaches. And I would take a slightly lower return to be able to not have to deal with any of that because I knew what I was best at. But if you're super handy, that's a totally different story. If you've got very good property management skills, that's, you know, that's a very much different story of how much hands-on versus hands-off that you're going to be. But let's put it this way. You know, interest rates are at historic lows. The first deal I ever did was at 17% interest, and now you're getting things under 4%. It's like free money. So if you've got good credit and you've got a plan and you've got money to put down, you know, when you can make anywhere from 5 to 10%, you know, cap rates, returns on your money or more if you want to be really risky, it certainly has to be looked at when there's no money made CD or a money market today, okay? Now, saying that, I think you need to keep very good liquidity. I keep six figures liquid every year just in case, God forbid, something happens, okay? But I have a very low risk tolerance. Your risk tolerance may be, you know, greater than mine. But you've always heard that old adage of having 6 to 8 months living expenses. You know, for that, I want a minimum of that, more like 10 months living expenses on that. So that's number one. Get your safety net put forth. Find out really what's going to let you sleep at night versus what's going to keep you up at night. That's really what your risk tolerance is going to be. And then what kind of projects to get into, what kind of property types to get into is going to kind of go hand in hand with that risk tolerance. Apartments are the easiest things to get in. Single family homes and apartments are the two easiest things to get in, whether it's by yourself, four family, in a single family home, or working your way up. If you're doing a strip center or an office building, which I've owned office buildings and I own a partner in a strip center now, are much more complicated. If you lose a tenant, it takes a lot longer. Permitting, building, things of that nature can take a long, long time. You got to have deeper pockets. You got to have a lot more liquidity. You got to be able to have the ability to borrow money to get your loan refinanced. And one of the reasons so many properties went down, when they went down, is the values didn't come back and you lost the properties because they didn't have the money to put back into it when the values went down. So for the people just getting into it, either apartments or single-family homes are going to be the easiest way to get into it. Or going into REITs and starting that way. REITs, for example, were the highest performer last year, returned an average of 20%. Okay, the Dow Jones did 9-point-something%. I forget exactly what it was, 9.6, I believe. So you're talking over a double return REIT. And I see that continuing in the next couple of years. Okay? But definitely the gray cloud is what the government's doing or not doing, and are they going to make the cut? If they do, you know, I'm going to feel a lot better. The stock market has really been humming good so far this month and, you know, year to date. So we have to knock on wood for that, but that continues.
Well, Greg, let's talk about this is kind of a different side of the market where people that don't have a lot of money, they want to get involved. You know, you hear out there about no money down strategies and there's all kinds of books written about it and so forth. What are your thoughts on someone who maybe doesn't have any capital at all to work with? Is there an opportunity for them to get into the market utilizing some of these oft-discussed and talked about no money down strategies, seller financing, lease options, assigning contracts. What are your thoughts on that side of the market?
Well, I've talked directly with a couple of people that used to work for a lot of those people, and a lot of them, they're making most of their money from their seminars, not from doing their houses. Yes, some of those things can be done, but you definitely need to know what you're doing. So getting a mentor or getting a partner is really important. Yes, there's people that are really hurting that you can do assignments with, but today financing is definitely more important than it's ever been. A troubled property is probably going to come with some problems. And if you don't surround yourself with a good attorney, a good banker, a good insurance person, a good handyman, a good property manager, you know, you're going to continue to have those problems with whoever takes over the property. So I think that there are abilities to go in those areas. Do I do any of those? No, I do not. I don't teach any of those principles on there. So I think if they have no money to put down, they need to get their nest egg, like I talked about, for their own financial well-being for that. If they don't own a home yet, you know, you're gonna get your profit of owning your own home on the front end today rather than on the back end with long-term appreciation. I do not look at my home anymore as something that's going to be long-term appreciation. I look if you're going to go buy new real estate, you find it in an area that there's a problem, or you go talk with your bank and find a foreclosure list. In Ohio last year, for example, we had 90,000 foreclosures. Okay, so if you go become a friend with several of the bankers in your area, you're going to be able to get a list of the foreclosures and probably get a steal on a home that you either live in for a short time and then turn it into an investment property on that, which is how a lot of people have gotten started from that. So that definitely is one way. The other ways, Carter, I think, are a lot more risky and are going to come with a lot more risk. But that's just me. I have a very low risk tolerance. Most of the investors that we work with, they want steady returns. They're not looking at the get-rich-quick type deals.
Gotcha. That's tremendous advice. Now, let's talk from the entrepreneurial side of things. Just, Greg, there's a lot of people that are listening to this call right now that are miserable with their jobs, that they want to do something different. Maybe they're interested in real estate, maybe they're not. Just talk a little bit about your experience growing a company, being entrepreneurial. Is it something that people should be looking at now? I mean, is the economy in a state where we should be looking for opportunity or entrepreneurial opportunities? Should we be running and ducking for cover? Should we, what are your thoughts on being entrepreneurial and starting a business in the environment that we're in right now?
Well, that's a great question. When I started mine, I don't know that it was much different in the mid-90s. People were scared. Interest rates, again, were a lot higher. I mean, with interest rates as low as it is, I think it's a good time. But let me tell you this. For somebody who never thought they'd be an entrepreneur, my father was with an insurance company for 38 years. So growing up, I kind of had that in my head. I thought I was going to be with the biggest company in the country for 38 years, get my gold watch, and go off into the sunset. Now that I've been an entrepreneur for 16 years, I could never go back to work for somebody again. The freedom that it gives you, not only the financial freedom that I've created for myself, but the freedom that it gives you to do what you want, where you want, with who you want, is what it's all about. The bottom line, Carter, is more than just about money. It's freeing you to grow as a person. And I believe the true goals of happiness, one of the books I use when I train with the people that I train is StrengthsFinders 2.0 book, which was just named for like six straight year, one of the top three books there. And there's an online test you take that will test what your five passions in life are. And the whole key of the book is doing what you're passionate about and delegating and not doing everything else. So as much people want to make more money, they got to do what they're happy and they're passionate about, and they will make more money by doing some of that because it won't feel like work. So even though I probably still work as many hours, I'm doing it because I'm passionate about it. I love teaching and helping people on there. So is it the right time to be an entrepreneur? If you have a burning desire be the best you can be. If you feel stifled at your current company or business, what you should do then is get into it part-time until you see, you know, the writing on the wall of, yes, this is really for me. So kind of dip your toe in the water for that, because most people don't have enough in the nest egg saved away to do that. I mean, when I did it, basically I had a nice big nest egg, paid off my house, I paid off my car, I had zero debt. So I wasn't worried if I went a year without making any money. Okay, but most people don't do that. So, you know, the number one thing I tell people, start living under your means instead of over your means. You know, go out to dinner at a $50 restaurant, go out to dinner at a $30 restaurant. Instead of buying a $50,000 automobile, buy a $30,000 automobile. You know, don't be a materialistic person. And it's amazing if you do those kind of things, how much money you'll start saving. I mean, I've got friends in my business that make three or four times what I make, and they save, you know, 10% of what I save or what I invest. Okay, so it really is what kind of life that you want to have. The more you visualize that, one of the first guys that I studied, Tony Robbins, talked about the rocking chair test. And he said, imagine sitting in your backyard on your rocking chair, think 20 years down the road, and feel the pleasure of hitting all the goals that you set for yourself, and just let that sink in for a while. And just, you know, you get this big smile on your face. And then sit in that same rocking chair and think 20 years down the road and feel the pain of not trying or not doing something you really want to do with your life or not achieving those goals. And let that pain sink in for a minute. And most people are motivated a lot more by pain or by fear than they are by the opposite. So the sooner we find our passions in life, the sooner that's going to motivate us a lot more to grab the bull by the horns and do something. But I can tell you that if I can become a self-made millionaire, that anybody can, and you definitely got to be a hard worker, you definitely got to be persistent, but you got to do what you're passionate about. And if you're passionate about real estate, more people will become millionaires on real estate than anything else, you know, in this country. Okay, so I think that's a pretty good sign. When you look at the Forbes, you know, list, that's what you're going to see on there for that.
So what were the biggest, if you can remember back, Greg, what were some of the biggest surprises when you got into starting a business? Were there some things that maybe you didn't anticipate or some things that maybe caught you off guard a little bit as you were starting a business?
Oh, without a doubt. But I will say that one thing I did do to try to keep those surprises to the minimum is I took a planning course because most people don't have a business plan. So I took an entrepreneur business planning course, and they really said a lot of what was in this book. Stick with what you know. Stick with what you're an expert in and delegate and hire out all the areas that you're not. And I did that. So, for example, I'm great at math, but I'm terrible in accounting. So I'm going to get the best darn accountant to help me out. And I surrounded myself with a good accountant, a good attorney, a good banker, a good insurance person to really help me go through any chances or problems. And most times people say, oh, I can just do that myself. Anytime I tried to be cheap and not pay for a good professional, it came back and bit me. So don't be cheap in those areas. You got to have a good attorney. You got to have the right paperwork done, you know, and that. And when I tried to be impatient and rush is when it definitely cost me on that. So that's probably one of the biggest things I would have to say, you know, with that. And I kept trying to surround myself, and we formed this think tank group with other people in my industry that we could trade ideas and share. So kind of like having a mentor, to have a group of people. And again, in your industry, whatever you want to be in, all over the country to help you with that. So that might be something that you might want to think about doing. One is get a mentor. Two is surround yourself with these people. Go meet new people every day.
Fantastic. Well, our time's flying by on us here, Greg. What would be some closing thoughts for some of our students as they're thinking about, would you recommend real estate as something to get started with now? Would you push that the students just do something? I know you've mentioned what they're passionate about. What would be some parting thoughts and encouragement for our students here today?
Well, as I said, I think real estate's one of the greatest professions in the world, whether you do it as a broker or whether you do it as an investor. More people become millionaires doing that. So I'd say certainly you have to give that a thought. If you don't, at least have it in your investment portfolio through a REIT if you don't do it directly there. So that would be one thing I would look at for sure, okay? It worked for me. Can it work for you? Yes, I think it can work for you. But there's all different types of niches in it, and it's really going to depend on what your personality type is, how driven you are. And I'll give you a quick little thing. I hired my best friend from college who had a master's and an MBA, as smart a guy as you'll find, was very successful at another sales company that was not successful at doing commercial real estate because he did not like the networking and or the cold call. Okay, he was used to having one client and servicing that client, not juggling 10, 15, 20 clients at the same time. So you have to know yourself and be honest with yourself very good. I think that's the first thing, your first step with that. So are you willing to go out and make 20, 30, 40 phone calls a day? I mean, I'm making 30 to 50 calls, 30 to 50 emails each and every day. Okay, how much energy do you have? How bad do you want it? Do you have a burning desire to be the best you can be? If you can, I don't think there's a better business than real estate. You know, in saying that, though, you could do the same thing in financial planning or insurance. It's all going to be the same as far as the amount of time and effort that you're going to do it. Owning real estate gives you the ability to make money off of other people by the tenants in those properties, okay? So whether it's a hotel or an apartment, or a strip center, or an office building, or a self-storage unit, or student housing. I mean, it's great to be able to get that. One of the apartments we just bought, we got our full principal back within 2 years. So we got basically 100% return within 2 years because we bought it right, okay? We had the right property manager, we had the right leasing agent, we bought it well under the replacement cost, okay? So those opportunities exist all over the country. People like myself help people find this. Sometimes they take a long time, but you got to have what your goals are. So I guess my final words are to you is know yourself, have a goal, have a strategic plan in writing, surround yourself with those really good, uplifting people that are experts in each one of their areas, and don't be afraid to use them, okay? Every person that you're calling on, whether it's your current business or if you do get into real estate, you want to find out who their trusted advisors are that they're looking at to make decisions. And I promise you, if you do that, you'll reach your goals and you'll get there.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, I can't thank you enough for your time today. This has been a real treat for me personally, and certainly some tremendous information for our students to think about and chew on and hopefully act on. So thank you very much for your time, and let's talk soon, okay?
I'm here when you need me.
All
right.
Have a great day,
everybody.
All right. Very good. Well, I would like to thank everyone today for joining us for our Learning from Leaders conference call series. I know you've learned a lot, and now take it upon yourselves to take some action, figure out what it is you love to do, and be aggressive, and get out there and make it happen. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye-bye now.